Suffering and death are two topics that are frequently referred to in the Epistle to the Hebrews, but they have rarely been examined within scholarship on this New Testament text. Join us as we talk with Brian Dyer about his own study of these topics, and then discover how he connects them to the social situation addressed in Hebrews. In his book, Suffering in the Face of Death, The Epistle to the Hebrews and Its Context of Situation, put out by Bloomsbury, T&T Clark in 2017, Brian reveals how the author of Hebrews is responding to the reality of suffering in the lives of his audience. With this awareness, it becomes clear how the epistle also responds to the audience's pain by creating models of endurance in suffering and death. These serve to motivate the author's audience towards similar endurance within their own social context. You're listening to New Books in Biblical Studies, and I'm Michael Morales, your host. Brian R. Dyer earned his PhD at McMaster Divinity College. He's acquisitions editor at Baker Press USA and adjunct professor at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. In addition to his book, Suffering in the Face of Death, Brian is also co-editor of The Synoptic Problem, The Bible and Social Justice, and also of Paul and Ancient Rhetoric. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
Brian, why don't we begin by having you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came to write a book on Hebrews.
Yeah, sure. Well, so I currently am the New Testament Acquisitions Editor at Baker Academic. I've been in that job for about 2.5 years, although I've been at the company for 6. And I also teach adjunct at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I live. And, you know, I started studying the book of Hebrews when I was an undergrad. I was a student at Calvin College, and I did a semester abroad where we went to London, and we studied at Oak Hill Theological College there in Southgate. And so I was an undergraduate student there with a bunch of seminarians, all kind of further along in their education than I was. And they were offering a Greek exegesis course on Hebrews, taught by New Testament scholar David Peterson, who is a Hebrew scholar who wrote his dissertation on Hebrews and perfection. And I was just interested in doing a Greek exegesis course. I had not done that before. I had just been taking Greek for a couple of years, so I was kind of diving into the deep end a little bit. And it was a really interesting course, really challenging. And I kind of fell in love with the book of Hebrews. It was always a book that I either ignored or kind of stayed away from in youth group or growing up in the church or personal study, because it was kind of an intimidating book. And so kind of spending a whole semester going through the Greek was really, really interesting. And so when I did my master's thesis, I knew I wanted to write on Hebrews. So I wrote on suffering in Hebrews, kind of modeling it a little bit after David Peterson's Perfection in Hebrews monograph. And then when I did my PhD, I wanted to kind of continue that work. And so I did a kind of an extension of that work on suffering into the dissertation. So that's kind of the history of my engagement with Hebrews.
That was quite a privilege to be able to study with David Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he's now in Australia. But I got to go there while he was the principal and was able to kind of, it was a small class, so it was really cool to kind of just be able to learn from him. And so, it was very cool.
Would you give us a general introduction to the message of Hebrews?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's interesting. You know, the more that you kind of study it, the harder that question is in some ways, because it's such an intricate argument and certainly very full theologically to kind of say. I think that the Epistle to the Hebrews is very situated in a particular context. And so I think it's much of the book of Hebrews is meant to encourage a community that finds themselves in crisis. And so I think a lot of the exhortation and the theology is meant to motivate a community that was in danger, a very real danger of leaving the group, of leaving the community, of falling away from the faith. And I think one of the most, the most significant contribution that Hebrews offers is this image of Jesus as our great high priest, and really kind of addressing, I think, the issue of no longer having access to the temple. What do we make of kind of the need for forgiveness of sin? And so this intricate argument that he offers of Jesus as a great high priest in the order of Melchizedek, and then really kind of fleshes out the implications of that. I think it's probably the biggest contribution that Hebrews offers in the New Testament canon. Now, the question that you always get is, who wrote Hebrews? And I'm not going to attempt to address that because I don't know that we know. But that's always the question that you get. And somebody hears you've studied the book of Hebrews. That's kind of the first question. Well, who wrote it? And I don't think I have a good answer to that. But
I was actually saving that for our last question as a bonus.
Well, yeah, we can. You know, a funny story is once I got a phone call from my dad, he just said, "Hey, we have a Bible study happening right now. We started talking about Hebrews, so somebody, we want to know who wrote it." And then he's like, "Quick, I'll put you on speakerphone." So then I had his whole study group asking me who wrote it, and they weren't very satisfied with, you know, Origen's, God only knows answer, but but yeah, it's one you get a lot. But
Ron, your book is on the theme of suffering and death in Hebrews. How does Hebrews develop this theme in relation to Jesus?
Well, yeah, in relation to Jesus, well, I think that the presentation of Jesus certainly is multifaceted, but one purpose is to demonstrate how Jesus is the one who goes before us, and that he is presented as a kind of a great exemplar for the believer to follow, one who experienced persecution, who experienced suffering, to the point of death, but yet modeled great faithfulness and endurance and obedience. And so I think it's significant, this portrayal of Jesus as kind of a great sufferer who demonstrates endurance. And so it's not the only kind of facet of Christology or in the portrayal of Jesus, but I think it's a significant one. And I think it's significant that, you know, the high priest that we now have, as the author of Hebrews says, is one who suffers, is one who is able to who's able to empathize with those that he represents. And so I think that's certainly significant, as suffering is a huge part of that. You know, there are a lot of passages in Hebrews that really kind of got me going on this. What is the theme of suffering? What is this kind of theology of suffering? And it was those passages about, you know, in 5:8, where it says that Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. That was just, you know, I didn't know what to do with that verse. You know, how do we make sense of this idea that it's through Jesus's sufferings that he was made perfect, or that he demonstrates obedience, or so it was those kind of passages that really kind of drew me into what does this mean, or this understanding of Jesus as one who suffers. So yeah, I don't know if that quite gets at your question, but.
You mentioned Jesus as an exemplar of suffering and death. Does the book of Hebrews use other examples aside from Jesus?
Yeah, I highlight three different groups of exemplars in the book. The first, I think maybe one of the more obvious, is there's heroes or figures from Israel's history. And here it's mainly, we're talking about Hebrews 11, the catalog of heroes of faith. And one of the interesting things I think about Hebrews 11, I mean, we all pick up on the by faith, and it's the faith that is being praised of all these exemplars. But what's often missed is that faith in almost every instance is demonstrated within a context of death or a context of affliction. And so as you read through chapter 11, it's often kind of surprising that so-and-so demonstrated faith while they were, you know, on their deathbed, or when they were nearly dead, or all these kind of references to death that we see. And that seems to be the context within which that faith is demonstrated. So I try to argue that these exemplars are not just exemplars of faith, but they are exemplars of faith enacted or demonstrated within a close proximity to death, or within a context of affliction or suffering. And so that first exemplar group are these heroes of Israel's history. The second exemplar group is the community themselves. There's a couple places in the Epistle to the Hebrews where the author encourages the community to reflect upon their own past and these times when they demonstrated faith, or they demonstrated endurance during these times of affliction. The most prominent one is chapter 10, verse 32 through 34, where it reminds them of this great contest of suffering, is the language that the author uses, where they demonstrated this endurance and this solidarity with each other. And then the author says, you need to demonstrate that same endurance now, or at least implies that you should, that you're in a similar context to that now. And so look to that past as a motivation for how you should act in the present. And so the community themselves, and there's another place where the author reminds them of their leaders and says, look to the faith of your leaders, that the way that they lived their life up until their death. And so the community themselves is this exemplar group. And then, as I've already kind of touched on, the last kind of exemplar is Jesus himself. And in many ways, he's the ultimate exemplar. He is kind of the culmination of the list of exemplars in chapter 11, where we get to the beginning in chapter 12. It's not a separate section. It kind of leads up to now we look to Jesus as kind of the one who endured, who took on the shame of the cross, and faithfully endured. And so Jesus is kind of that kind of third and ultimate exemplar of one who suffers for the sake of the people of God, who suffer because of his identity as his identity as the Messiah. And so we are to look to him for motivation in our own time of trial. And then in chapter 13, it's almost kind of direct to the audience, where it says, just how Jesus suffered outside the camp, we are now to move out to him. And so there's this encouragement to follow his example, to take on that same shame that he took upon himself on the cross. And we are meant to kind of faithfully endure within our own context. And so those are kind of the three big exemplar groups, all sharing a similar context of faith being demonstrated within times of affliction or close proximity to death.
You note that Hebrews is not just about Jesus suffering and death, but that it also forms a strong appeal for Christians to follow after Jesus in suffering and death. Would you explain further that aspect of Hebrews?
Yeah, so that's one of the kind of the issues where I'm trying to figure out, or part of the study is trying to place Hebrews within its social context, or kind of with the methodology that I use. I talk about its context of situation and what is kind of the social context that we can kind of ascertain from studying the text itself. And so when I begin to see all of these references to these models or these exemplars of faithfulness and suffering, you kind of have to ask the question, does that mean that today's Christian or the original Christians who are reading this text, does that mean that they are to seek out suffering, or that they are to, that the way they follow Jesus and his endurance is to look for suffering, and so that they can model after Jesus in that way? And that's one of the kind of the critiques that you see, or that some scholars have brought up about placing too strong of a social context on Hebrews, where they would say, you bring out the implications of this exhortation to follow Jesus in his suffering. Well, does that mean that Christians are meant to seek it out? And so I try to argue that it's not that there's an encouragement to seek out suffering, but rather there's an implied relevance, or there's an implied context that doesn't need to be made explicit in the text because it was obvious to the readers and obvious to the author. But you do see bits of it coming out in the text, and that is that a lot of these exhortations and a lot of these examples make sense within a context of suffering and within a context where this community was very had a very real threat, where they felt like they could lose their lives for being a part of this community. And so I try to argue that it's not about seeking out suffering, but it's written to a community that was already within this context of suffering. And so within that context, they are encouraged to look to these other exemplars in order to demonstrate the faithfulness within their context. So that's what I kind of try to flesh out with kind of developing these themes of suffering and death and these exhortations, that there was this implicit kind of shared knowledge about the context within Hebrews, and that helps us make sense of these kind of references to suffering and death.
And does the social context you've developed help you to narrow in on a particular date for the epistle, or to a place like Rome or Jerusalem?
Yeah, well, you know, in the dissertation, I try to avoid that because I don't want to, you know, if I try to pinpoint a place and time for Hebrews, you could agree with me up until I make that, you know, that choice. And then, you know, you could just kind of disregard the rest. I try to argue that kind of what I've already been discussing as whatever context or historical time period we put Hebrews in, it has to account for this present reality of suffering and fear of death. And I think there are several different historical scenarios that you could fit Hebrews into that account for this. But I kind of try to avoid kind of doing it myself because I don't want to the kind of what I think is a pretty kind of solid kind of arguments. I don't want that to be dismissed because I try to land on a particular place and time. You know, I think in the dissertation, I point to Jason Whitlock's book where it places Hebrews as a response to the empire and written to the Christians in Rome. I kind of say I don't really agree with that placement of the Christians in Rome, but that certainly would be, you know, would make sense of what I'm seeing there about the suffering and death that we see. So that's certainly a plausible historical scenario. One that I find quite interesting, one that has come out of conversations with my PhD advisor, Cynthia Westfall, is I think it's quite interesting to place Hebrews within a context of the Jewish war, which was happening, which led up to the destruction of Jerusalem in, you know, kind of the 60s or kind of in the mid first century, where you had a systematic kind of movement from city to city by the Roman Empire, wiping out Jewish communities. And at that time, Jewish communities and communities like that addressed in Hebrews might not have been so easily to differentiate a Christian Jewish community. And so this might be a community that is seeing this threat, is hearing about these essentially wiping out of communities. And they may be already kind of feeling that pressure and seeing it coming. And so that might explain kind of this fear and this present suffering that they have. I think that's certainly an interesting kind of place to put Hebrews, but I try not to develop it or tie down to any one particular historical scenario. I think I lay out, I can't remember if I kept it in or not. At one point, I kind of played out a couple different historical scenarios where it could work. But yeah, I try not to pin it down.
All right, let's get back to the author of Hebrews now. If you had to guess, who wrote the Epistle to the Hebrews?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's certainly a fascinating, you know, conversation. I don't think that it's Paul. I think it's Pauline. I think there's some obvious connection to Paul or the Pauline community. I think that best explains how Hebrews was circulated very early on with the Pauline corpus. So there seems to be some connection there. But I don't think it was written by Paul or by a scribe under Paul's name. I don't think, as some have argued, that it was an attempt to be passed off as Pauline. But you do see certain things that are connected to Pauline theology or Pauline writing. So I think there's some connection there. I don't know that it's anybody that we have any kind of written records from. You've seen arguments that it was Luke. So you compare it to Luke's writing and find some things that can, that overlap. But I don't know that it's anybody that we have examples that have survived. I think some of the kind of devastating kind of implications of the book of Hebrews, I think one reason why we know so little about it is I think that this is not just a community that had a perceived threat. But again, of course, here I'm going beyond the text, and I'm saying this may have been a community that eventually succumbed to that threat, a community that was wiped out. And so that may be why we don't know who it was written by, who it was written to, where it was written, because a lot of those details might have been lost as the community succumbed to this kind of looming threat that we, or at least that I try to identify within the text. And so I don't know. I, in some ways, I don't know that it matters. And there's a certain kind of maybe not romantic, but maybe there's certain kind of mystery that's kind of around it that I think would, you know, if you want to say it's Apollos or someone like that, I think it's lost a little bit. I kind of like kind of not knowing, but you know, it doesn't mean that we'll stop debating it.
That's fair enough. Brian, are you working on any other projects you can tell us about?
Yeah, sure. Kind of in my own writing and stuff, I'm developing a couple of the things kind of that came out of the dissertation that either didn't make it in or that I think could be developed a little bit more. The most kind of pressing project that I have is I'm co-writing a little introduction to Christology, New Testament Christology with Stan Porter, which I think will be really, really interesting. I mean, it's written as an introduction to students. It's taking a similar approach as Coleman did. We're kind of going through the titles of Jesus, which certainly has its own weaknesses when talking about Christology. But I think as far as an entry point for students new to the field, it's a good entry point to talking about the New Testament's presentation of Jesus. And so that's kind of the most immediate project. Referring to Hebrews, I've always had in my head this project on Hebrews that I would love to do, and I'll hopefully devote time to it one day, but that is really kind of drawing out the humanity of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, which I did my study, just kind of saw that as such an important concept that seems to be developed kind of throughout this importance of Jesus's humanity and his role as the high priest, as his role as kind of our forerunner, as his role as an exemplar, this emphasis upon Christ's humanity. It's one of the earliest things that the author of Hebrews discusses. And it's almost as if, you know, he doesn't need to argue for kind of a high Christology or the divine nature of Christ. He almost seems to need to emphasize that Christ really was human, just like you and I, that was tempted in the same way. And so I'd like to do kind of a monograph length project of developing the significance of Christ's humanity in Hebrews. But that'll probably be something down the line, and probably somebody will get to it before I'm able to, but that's an area that I would love to do when I'm able to devote some time to it.
Well, those are exciting projects and sound like they'd be useful.
Yeah, thanks. I think so.
Well, Brian, it's been good to hear more about your work and about your book, Suffering in the Face of Death. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael.
Friends, thank you for listening to New Books in Biblical Studies. We have heard from Brian Dyer on his recent book, Suffering in the Face of Death, and you'll find a link to his book on our website. Until next time, goodbye.